Christ, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And I put my hand up here and say, yep, totally agree, Paul. I'm not ashamed. I still believe in its power, its ability, its vitality. Whew. Wow, thanks, Rob, Sarah, guys. Just awesome. Awesome sense of God's presence here. So, impact. If you're newish or you're here for the first time this morning, quite often we teach through the Bible in series, so there's a sort of something sort of following on one after another. And over these few weeks, we are talking about the word impact. And already a few people have powerfully declared some great truth. Leah kicked us off a few weeks ago. And then Wendy talked to us about the impact of Christ on the world around him, particularly on those disciples as he called them to follow him and shape the world through how they behaved. And then last week, Mark took that a step on, talking about the impact of the Holy Spirit on those early disciples and the transformation that took place that opened up the gospel to the world around. And I'm wanting to talk this morning and then lead us into some prayer together about the impact of the gospel or the church, swap them two around, on society. And there's just one simple question that I want to ask for a few minutes that has like bothered me all week in the sense of, you know, knowing you're preaching and getting to grips with what you want to say and condensing it down to at least, you know, a sizable chunk. The question is this: where on earth, it's coming up, where on earth is the kingdom of God? And I want to, I know I talk fast down here, but I'm going to go into turbo this morning. One of those, if you're a preacher, you know about this, because you get so much material, then on like Friday, Saturday, you get down to, wow, will that fit into 20, 25 minutes? Yeah. Where on earth is the kingdom of God? Here goes. So in the world in which Jesus lived in those New Testament days, there was a sort of nervous expectation. The people around him, particularly the people of Israel, those whose Yahweh was their God, that they understood to some degree what we call the Torah and the prophets. We understand that as the Old Testament. They'd read it, they deciphered it, and many people got tangents of thinking as to what this meant. And when it came to the kingdom of God, an expression that's used so many times in the Bible, they got their idea, particularly the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those that promoted some of the religious thinking. They got this clear idea that this was about external power being the one that supersedes the power around. That's what they were looking for. Jesus appears under the cover of darkness, so to speak, not great trumpets, just that whole story of Bethlehem. And he begins to talk about this. And he confronts those Pharisees and the people around and begins to get them agitated, because what he's saying doesn't seem to line up with what they were thinking. The same with us today, I guess, with sometimes our many interpretations of the Bible and how we see that might be worked out. And then somehow it doesn't quite work the way we thought it did. And we need to go back and understand what God's saying. So, where on earth is the kingdom of God? Both John and Jesus made this statement: repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So, in contrast to what I've just said, they're looking at the people and they're saying this word repent, it's about changing your mind and your thinking that then will change your attitude, your behavior, and your perspective. He's trying to say to them what you think might be happening or should happen. Actually, the kingdom of God is coming, no problem with that. But change, repent, alter your thinking and your behavior, because it's not quite how you expected. And then a bit further on, when he'd done some miracles and talked to some people, I'm going to Luke 17, 21. He realizes that people are still looking. They're listening to his words, but they're looking for some sort of demonstration of their own mindset of what it was about. And Jesus says this: people won't say, here it is, or there it is. Because the kingdom of God is within you. In response to the Pharisees in particular, who questioned him at that point, wanting an outward demonstration. And Jesus is saying in modern language, the issue isn't around you, the issue is in you. Kingdom, two words, king, domain, the area over which God reigns, the fulfillment on earth of God's will. Jesus opened a window to help us get a bit of an idea what this is all about, in a way that we repeat 1,000 times year in, year out. Because as part of that, what we know as the Lord's Prayer, you know it so well, in there he gave us a window because he said, pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is, I'm assuming heaven's up there, as it is in heaven. If you want to open a window on understanding the kingdom of God that you want here around on earth to happen and to be seen, then take note, that's where you look, that's where you understand it might be. What's going on in heaven that we want to happen on earth here and now? See that as the kingdom, pray it, and let's see it happen. You want a view of God's kingdom? Heaven reflects it. And I'm not going to go into it, but what does that mean to you? That sense of purity, right? Unsullied by sin. God being the center of it all. The kingdom of God in heaven, the forward hope that we all live by. You see, God's redemptive plan has never been to obliterate and start again, but through relationship to renew and rebuild society. Paul got hold of it and he used language that is hopefully helpful, because he said, if anybody's in Christ Jesus, they're part of anybody? New creation. Not an obliteration of everything, but actually something that's not around and in, something that's inside. That's why you and I respond with, we get ignited when there's injustice. We get moved by kindness. Why does that happen in our human nature? Because each of us carry the image of God, which is about justice, which is about kindness and everything else that's part of the nature and the character of God. And for many people, not us, because we found God, that image has been sort of buried, dusted over, the cobwebs are blacking it out. But then we see it. You see kindness, you see people respond to issues, to human need. And they may not be what we would call Christians in the sense that we identify with that, but there's something in there of the image of God that has been unfurled. So when we see an act of kindness, we respond with warm hearts. When we see injustice, we get a little bit indignant as to what's going on and how people should oppress other people, and that shouldn't be. Something of the kingdom of God is rising inside each person. Let me say this with confidence. The world is massively better off because the followers of Jesus have looked for redemption everywhere. Why do I say that? Because, and I'm not just talking about 2023, I'm going back, cover a bit of history in a few minutes. The world is massively better off because the followers of Jesus have looked for redemption. Why? Because they've cared for the sick. They built the first hospitals. They've been in the forefront of the development of schools and universities. Christian faith has promoted good laws. It's promoted justice for the poor, care for children and minority groups. Even things like the value of work and rest born out of God's pattern has been encouraged. Christians have not been perfect, apart from you and me. But overall, the church's impact for cultural, social and spiritual renewal has been all along. There's tons of little snippets I could give you here, and I've picked a few. Great composer we all listened to him many times, Johann Sebastian Bach. at the height, I guess, of his writing and his immense skill, he said this: his work was for the glory of God and the refreshment of man's soul. So every time you put on Classic FM, if you're a fan like me, and some of that music comes on, and it does, if it catches you in the moment, it stirs you. And I don't know, you stand up with your porridge and you, God save her. Yeah. What about daft little things like, you know, we refer to these places connected to churchyard as cemeteries. The Greek word is resting place. Why did that word get adopted? Because people believed in eternal life. So they didn't see this as the end. This wasn't the place of, you know, end for end's sake. Cemetery, resting place. Abide here until Jesus calls you to be with him. Martin Luther was one of the first ones that pressed for public schools to be paid for the government so that the right to education could be available for all. And in the institution of that, this is what he wrote. Let me quote Martin Luther. I am afraid that the schools will prove the very gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the scriptures and engraving them in the hearts of our youth. Ooh. Pretty blunt that, isn't it? If you go down into London and you rock up at, I guess, the most recognised place of justice in the country, the Old Bailey. Across the front there is written Psalm 72. Defend the children of the poor and punish the wrongdoer. We have a great organization called the Samaritans that I'm sure we're all familiar and understand what they do in helping those in need, probably many of them at the dire end of the rope. Why is it called the Samaritans doing what it does? Because Jesus told a parable. Oh, fancy that. That we know as the Good Samaritan. And out of that was born an organization that talks to thousands of people every day. Universities, the first understanding of them was born out of the fact that when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Amongst it all, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Any of you that have been to university or yet to go there, those places exist born on the fact that people understood Jesus encouraged us to love God, not just passionately with emotion, but with our mind. So let's study, let's learn, let's be part of that to fulfill the commission and the plan of God. There are many more, I'm not going to list them all. Festivals like Easter and Christmas, marked as public holidays, God keep them like that. The Gregorian calendar has been adopted as the recognized one, which itself is measured from an estimation of the birth of Jesus. The world is massively better off because the followers of Jesus have looked for redemption everywhere. The kingdom of God, is it there? Is it there? Is it there? No, it's there. Within you. So that through you and your behavior and your response and your care and that image of God beginning to eke itself out, society begins to move, begins to change, begins to be redeemed. God's restoration plan goes on and on and on. Jesus' vision of life continues to challenge humanity. I always find it staggering that, you know, you read the Gospels, and if you read all four of them, I don't know what would it take you, 2 or 3 hours, I'm guessing, probably. And within there, actually, there's only 30 days, I've said this so many times, 30 days of the life of Jesus, if you cram it all together, fully installed and recorded. And yet, nobody has caused so much aggro so much response, so much conversation than Jesus Christ and the Christian gospel. So Jesus' vision of life continues to challenge humanity. His influence has swept over history, bringing his influence to art. I think I read that there are so many millions of paintings around the world depicting the face of Christ by people who have never actually even seen him. One of them might be near, I guess. His influence to art, to science, to government, to medicine, to education. His life and his teaching and his word has inspired us about dignity, about compassion, and about forgiveness. G.K. Chesterton said this: "It's never been quite enough to say that God is in his heaven and all is right with the world. The rumor is that God has left his heaven to set it right." That's history. That's what's brought us to the day that we are now. But like the people that Jesus spoke to in that New Testament context, we stand as them today, still hearing the words and the voice and the call of Jesus Christ. And as I wind this towards a prayer that I want to lead us in, I need to pull this right back into you and I. We can sit and marvel, and you can study history and look at the many other ways that the impact of the Christian gospel has affected so many areas of life, and there's some incredible things. But what about me, you? If that's true and the kingdom of God lives in each one of us, what? Well, let me give you a few, because the list could go on. You see, your life counts. You're part of the great redemptive plan of God for the world, you, me. Don't care what your background is. Don't mean that in an ugly way. How it all came about, what family issues there are in the past when you follow your tree down, they're all fascinating and interesting. Good to study. But what determines you and I today is the fact that we've responded to God. We've allowed the seed of God to come in and that image of God to be regenerated in each of us. And like a giant garden across the world, God is growing you and I, and he's watering us and seeding us so that the fruit of the kingdom, the shoots of the kingdom, might be seen not around us but in us. So I speak to parents, many here, even if it's like kids have gone and you're a grandparent, whatever, you know, title comes before your name. Sometimes it's not what you do, it's who you raise that's vital to God's redemption plan. And as a parent, I say to each one of us, allow the kingdom of God to rule and reign in your heart first and foremost. Don't respond to people on the basis of what they've said. Respond to people on the basis of who you are. Yeah? That's a crucial line. Don't respond to people on the basis of what they've done or said. Respond on the basis of who you are, a child of God, parent, who you raise. If you're an employee, many of us are working for people. The Bible is very direct and clear. It says, when you work for those people, you work as you're working unto the Lord. Or in simple pictorial language, if Jesus was the boss of the company, the school, the whatever you work for, work for him as your boss. You might not picture your boss as Jesus. We'll leave that there. Parent, employee, if you're gifted, use it. Whether that's a learned gift, something you've worked on, whether it's just something natural that you are. By that I mean, if you're a generous person, don't ever stop being generous. If you're a person you're a person of peace, make sure that you bring peace into every scenario. If you're a bit more confrontational, some are, then use that for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. The way that God has shaped you and made you. If you have a conviction that you feel has a basis in Christian faith. So you hear stories from certain factions. I've sat with people who are trying to decipher God's will for their life and they're not sure what they should do, what they should get engaged. I can remember one guy and we started to chat, and then somehow in the conversation, he's talking about all these magazines that he often gets through the post, and he gives a bit of money here and there, and what it was all mission stuff, an orphanage there or a what there or a what there. And you suddenly realize, here's a guy who's got a bit of a conviction about his life that he hasn't fully recognized yet. So there are people here, you love working with kids. Follow that conviction. Don't try and kick it back. Don't say, I'm too old, too young, too handsome. Where on earth is the kingdom of God? Don't look here, don't look there. The kingdom of God is within you. We live, I'm sure you'd agree as you watch the news, unless some of you, sometimes it's scary to watch it with current things, isn't it? You just want to... Just recognize and realize you are at the forefront of the redemptive work of this whole planet. If you care about nature, then follow that path. Do something. Watch Attenborough tonight. They're great, aren't they? The world that God's created. Wow, 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 wow. I want to take the chance. I'm not making an appeal, as in if you feel this challenge, you come out. Because I've already said every one of you is tied in under what I'm saying here. The kingdom of God is within you. So, I want to pray for every single one of you. Lay hands on every single one of you. Get you home by 10 to 6 tonight. Is that okay? Who said yes? Everybody's like, who said that? Who said that? Look, somebody's got Maria's going already. I can pray for her tomorrow. She needs it. She needs it. So I'm going to invite some of the leaders here that I've already said we're going to pray for people. Piers, if you don't mind just whirring some music in the air. And then over the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to invite the people just to go around and pray. And we're going to pray that each one of us would just rub ourselves and go, I want the kingdom of God to be lived out through me in my school, in my office, wherever I might find myself. I want to be and recognize I'm part of God's redemptive plan. If you don't mind for the next few minutes, if it's uncomfortable to stand, then, you know, don't worry, you still get prayed for. Can we just stand together? And just as these people begin to wander and pray, get on with it, guys, if you don't mind. Then just receive. Just receive. Mark, Juliet, Wendy, James, Leah. Connor, you're going to pray. Good man. They're not going to be particularly long prayers because there's a lot of people to get round. But receive now as the Holy Spirit touches you. Perhaps if there's some life group leaders here and you're happy to just go and pray with people, do that. Just conscious of people standing for a while.
God.
Gillian, you okay to pray with people? Been so good. This is an exclusive prayer club. If there's somebody beside you and you just want to take a moment, you feel okay just to pray with them, then just put your hand gently on the shoulder and just pray for them. Let's just unleash. If there's two or three of you together and you just want to get in a group like one or two are doing, please do that. But just take these few moments. Oh, Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd speak.